that. Whatever God may take you through, remember, whatever turn you might go down, it is well with my soul if He is with me all the way. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, they roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. Should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, just let it control. Oh, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. Sing with all your heart, it is well. and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, a scroll. Will the drum, it shall resound. Oh, and the Lord, he shall descend. Even so, with my soul. Sing it as well. Oh, and it is well.
Sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, amen, as he provided all of our needs each and every day, amen. Jehovah Jireh, oh my provider, oh you are more than
free. Lord Jesus. Well, and you are more than enough. Oh, so much more than enough. And you are more than enough for me.
Applause, saints. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Into the Chamber, Be Free, Holy Spirit. How many just want Him to be free in the chamber of your heart today, amen? To let Him live, to let Him reign, to let Him be truly Lord, amen.
And into the chamber, be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to
power. end time message, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, as I looked out to the crowd there, Lord God, Lord, we have just a little gathering, God. But Lord, they came to fulfill your scripture, God, Lord, where they'd be gathered together, Lord, as they see this day approaching, God, Lord. They believe they're part of that scripture, and they want to fulfill that scripture, Lord. Because, yes, Lord, when you fulfill that scripture, Lord, it leads on to greater scriptures, Lord, to be fulfilled, God. Greater promises, Lord, to be made manifest, God, Lord. And we just thank you for everyone pushing their way out, Lord, yes, Jesus, Father, to hear the word of God, Lord. Lord, with all expectation, God, Lord, with, Lord, to hear the words of God, Lord, that our hearts are burning before they speak, God, Lord Jesus, yes, Lord. Not only during when, but, Lord, before, we're yearning, Lord, we're hungering and thirsty, God, for that, yes, word of God, Lord, that would free us, God, that would build our faith even higher, God, Lord, that we could bring you down, God, and feel your presence, God, Lord, feel your anointing, God, Lord, and just want to have, be one with you all the way, Lord Jesus, Lord, there be no difference between, Lord, the world seeing us or you, God, Lord, for we're one, Lord Jesus, Lord, and we want to be recognized, Lord, as Christians in this day, God, Lord, just full of the Holy Ghost. We love you, Lord. Lord, thank you for the testimony, God, Lord, for the prayer request, Lord, for the young boy, God, Lord. Lord, just be with him, God, Lord, and just have your perfect way, God, Lord. Just work it out for your glory, God. We love you, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And be with our speaker, Lord. Thank you for our song leader and our musicians, Lord. And Lord, we just love you so much, God. You're so good to us, God, and your mercies follow us daily, hourly, God, Lord. And your grace is never-ending, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. No place you'd rather be. Amen. Can't wait for the doors to open. Amen. Just every time you think about it, just when you look all around, you see everything happening. Saints, it's a privilege, you know, that we have to be able to come together. Amen. Let's just sing that song, "O Lord, send the power just now." Amen. How many believes he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Amen.
They were in an upper chamber. They were just now, and baptize everyone. Yes, there's power from heaven descending with the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them. Yes, Lord, as the Lord said he would sing. We're singing, "Oh Lord, send the." I'm singing, "Oh Lord, send your power just now. Oh Lord, send the power. Will and baptize everyone." Yes, this old time power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised to believers. Oh, and we all may have it too. We're singing, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, just send it, oh Lord, send your power just now, oh Lord, send the power just now, and baptize him." Sing that again. I am singing now, just, "Oh Lord, send the power. Hallelujah, oh Lord, send your power just now, oh Lord, send the power, will and baptize everyone." Amen. And the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful love, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Oh, wonderful, so high, so high, you can't get over it, low, you can't get under it, wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus. Oh, the love of Jesus. I'm singing, oh, I'm so high, it's so high, I can't get over it, low, I can't get under it, wide, I can't get around it, oh, so high, so high, so high, you can't get over it, low, you can't get under it, wide, you can't get around it, oh, one more time, the love of Jesus, the love of Jesus, oh, the love of Jesus, oh, the love of Jesus, and oh, so high, so high, so high, you can't get over it, oh, you can't get under it, wide, you can't get around it, oh, wonderful love. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I mean, you guys are paying attention this time. Amen. Let's just sing that song. Swing low, sweet chariot. I looked over Jordan, coming for me. Amen. What did I see? Chariot coming to take us home. Saints, how many believe that's coming soon or very soon? Amen. They say coming to a church near you. Amen. Amen. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. And swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming home too, coming for to carry me home. Just swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. The Jordan River is chilly and cold, coming for to carry me home. It will chill your body, but not your soul, coming for to carry me home. And swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. That Jordan River is chilly and cold, it's coming for to carry me home. It may chill my body, but not my soul, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry. One more time. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming.
coming for to carry me home. And coming for to carry me home. Coming for to carry me home.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Sing that song, Let God Arise and Your Enemies Be Scattered. Amen. If we just believe on the Word of God, the Holy Ghost guide us and direct us, we know the devil will be defeated on every hand. Amen. Amen. As our brother Cam prepares himself to come, let God arise and our enemies be scattered. Let God arise and the enemies be scattered. Let God arise and our enemies be scattered. Let God arise and our enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Sing that again. Oh, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Oh yes, just let God arise. Just let peace arise and his enemies be scattered. Let peace arise and your enemies be scattered. Let peace arise and your enemies be scattered. Let peace arise. Just let peace. Hallelujah, Lord. Just let faith arise and your enemies be scattered. Let faith arise and your enemies be scattered. Let faith arise. Oh, let love arise. Let love arise. Yes, Lord. Just let love arise and your enemies be scattered. Let love arise and your enemies be scattered. Let love. Just let our God arise. Let God. Hallelujah, Lord. Let God arise and your enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let God. What's God's name? Jesus. Oh, what's God's name? Jesus. There's power in the name. There's peace in the name. There's love in the name. There's glory in the name. Just let our God, let God arise. Just let faith arise.
Let faith arise, his enemies be scattered. Let faith arise. Oh, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Oh, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Amen. 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 Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Good to see all those that were able to travel out this morning. Amen. Got a little extra sleep, I hope, I pray. And rested up coming into the house of God. Amen. So certainly a blessing to be in the house of God. I'm still feel like I'm riding my high from Wednesday night. Amen. Still feeling pretty good in the spirit. Praise God. God, give us strength this morning as we press into the Word. Amen. We're almost there, church. We're almost there. Amen. But yet, let's jump into the Word this morning. Time's far spent, and just want to bring a little thought to you by the grace of God this morning. It's good to see all those that love God and just have God in your heart, and you just really want to be here. I'm certainly treasuring a lot of statements that were made Wednesday night, and then prayer. We had a great time on prayer on Friday night. Amen. I just forgot how much I missed it. Amen. Just a real time that you can just come together as a church and pray and just see God be God. Amen. So I feel like I got a little revival in my soul going on. But anyway, we'll have to take a break one of these Fridays and get a nice platform up here and just finish up on the job that needs to be done, and then we'll have her set. Amen. Amen. Everybody's quiet. Everybody's looking down. Everybody's looking around. Amen. You happy to be a Christian this morning? Are you identified as a Christian this morning? Praise God. Can you think of a better place you'd rather be this morning? Nope. I can't either. You excited to be here? Amen. Praise God. I know that extra hour of sleep sometimes it just makes you say, ooh. Oh. You slept a little bit more than what you're used to sleeping on Sunday, and that's all right. But if you had your Bibles this morning, we'd like to open to a few passages. We'll see where God will take us this morning. We'd like to open up first to Romans 8:11. After that, we're going to go to Matthew 27. It's nice to have Jesus here, isn't it? I got a lot of questions this morning. I'm playing 20 questions with you. How am I doing? Another one. Romans 8:11 here, the Scripture says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen?
Amen.
If that same Spirit raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Ooh, feeling excited already.
Amen.
Matthew 27:62. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles very quickly. I believe we're coming to a fork in the road. Amen. And as we're choosing right now in our actions and our desires, we're choosing if we want to be the bride of Jesus Christ or what we want to be. Amen. So I pray that we're all just really beginning to get a little bit more serious about our religion. Amen.
Amen.
We don't have much time, church. So I just want to be there when God makes His turn. I want to be right there with Him.
Amen.
I don't want to miss it. I want to stay right there.
Amen.
Right next to Christ.
Amen.
Matthew 27:62, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Not making much sense out of that probably, but we'll get her going in a second here. As we close our eyes, our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, as we close our eyes to focus on You, God, so that the sense of the eye, Lord, does not make us think of other things, God, or make us, oh God, dwell upon other things. But Lord, when we close our eyes, God, we're actually shutting down our senses, God, so that we can pay attention, Lord, to what we're actually doing, God. Lord, this morning with our eyes closed, God, we're crying out to this God, this real God, Lord, that You would come and make Yourself known to the church this morning, Lord God. God, be the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, be that Jesus Christ, God, that we're looking forward, oh God, to the marriage supper being with in just a short time from here on, Lord God. We just ask this morning, God, that, Lord, You'd anoint our lips, God, anoint the church's mind, their attention, God. And may they preach back to the preacher, God, today, Lord, those that have chosen themselves to be, oh God, as far as chosen themselves by responding to the calling of Christ in their life, God. Lord, we just ask, God, You'd move in our lives, move in our hearts. God, feed us with the book, oh God. And God, may, oh God, You certainly, God, give us that which is our heart's desire, oh God. Lord, a deeper walk with You this morning, God. And God, how hungry we are. We thank You for an extra hour to rest this morning, God. And Lord, may we rest in this divine presence today, God. Lord, I just ask You to move me aside. Lord, let me say what Your Spirit would have me to say, God. And Lord, we certainly don't want to say anything off Your Word, Lord. Allow me, O God, just to move, O God, in line with that Word, God. Give us strength, God. And I just pray You just help us move into it, Lord. We just love You with all our heart, Lord. And just give ourselves wholly to You now, Lord. We yield ourselves now in the name of Jesus Christ. We agree together, saying, Amen. You may be seated. If we had a title for this morning's sermon, we would like to entitle it, Breaking the Roman Seal. And for a topic this morning, we would like to give it Releasing Christ from the Tomb. Amen. So I pray that you're attentive upon the Word today. And just like the brother said on Wednesday, he said when the preacher's preaching, he said there needs to be something to respond to that Word. Amen. If the Word is crying out, there should be a Word responding to that. Amen. So I pray that you've brought your amens this morning. And by the grace of God, I know my little niece Emma will be amening this morning. She's my little amen corner representing. And I pray that you have decided to be your amen corner. Now, she's sitting in the corner, but I pray that you will be in your corner as well. Amen. So not that we need to flood to the outsides, but yet, by the grace of God, if we're catching what the Spirit is saying. But yet this morning, if we had just a little direction, we can see that we're talking about releasing Christ from the tomb. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we've been working with this topic just for a little while, if you are catching where we've been preaching on. And it was good to have a little break the last couple services. And now we have an opportunity to get back in the helm, so to say, and just allow the Lord just to say what He would have to say through your pastor. Amen?
Amen.
But yet this morning, we'd like to maybe focus a little bit about where we're at in time and just what exactly we're seeing before our eyes. And then on the other thing, just to bring forth a little type through the Scripture, just to help us to focus a little bit more on the same of what we've been dealing with. We're sowing the Word in a way that you can make this applicable to yourself, that you can positionally place yourself in the time dispensation that you're at.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And like a brother said the other day, he said a lot of people think that dispensation actually means time, but dispensation actually means stewardship. It's a dispensing, right?
Amen.
So a dispensation, like Paul said, he said there's been a dispensation given to me. And it's actually referring to actually a stewardship that he would have for that gospel. Amen? So when we realize that we are in the end of the Gentile dispensation, we are actually in the last, what? The last stewardship given for the Gentile church. Amen? So that is our call. That's our duty to reflect Christ, to give out Christ at this point in time. Amen? Now, this morning we want to deal with the thought of Christ in the tomb. Amen? And we'll be making a little bit more sense of this. I found this actually quite refreshing to myself, and I pray that you will find it refreshing to yourself as well. But I'd like to tell you that I'm going to say what God wants me to say this morning. I've done my best to study. I've done my best to pray up. I've done my best to get ready to allow God to be God this morning. Amen. I pray that you have prepared yourself, that you have set yourself aside, that you are in a place that you can allow the Word, which you say has baptized you this morning, to speak from you this morning. Amen? It should not speak a half-Christian lifestyle or a three-quarter, but it should what? Give forth all that the Holy Ghost is from you this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, we look this morning and we realize, as we've preached previously, that it was God's desire that there would be what? A restoration given to the Gentile people. Amen? It would be a restoration that the Word would be restored, right? And the restoring of that Word would actually bring Christ on the scene. Amen? And that it would not just be a portion as far as what was released previously, but yet it would be the full Word on the scene again. This is who we claim that we are. This is what we believe that God is fixing to do in our lives. Amen. Is to take us from this and to take us to a realm that no other church has went to before. But it'll actually be a releasing of Christ greater than ever seen before. And it must be realized in God's church at the time of the rapture. Which place is that coming? In your day. Which place is that right now? Amen. When's the coming of the Lord? Well, I just don't know. Something inside of me is saying that it's now. Amen. Something inside of you should be crying out, looking at what's going on around us, looking at what's being revealed in the Word, looking at what's drawing you to the house of God, looking at what is what showing you that there's more for you. And that right there should be identifying you that you are a child of God. Amen. Not just sitting and letting church be church, but allowing something in you to cry out and say, now is my time. Hallelujah. When Peter looked and he said the word, he said, this is that which Joel spoke of. Something inside of you should be saying, this is that that Peter spoke of. This is that right now. You're identifying the Word to your day.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
This is me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah.
And then you begin to see why this must become a lot more serious than what we've made it.
Amen.
Because you see, the Scripture says that it became at that time an everyday gospel.
Amen.
The Scripture says they went from house to house daily, taking bread, speaking of the apostles' doctrine. And we find that this must become again.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you fall asleep in this one, you better get up to the altar. Remember, Jesus Christ, He was alive on the first day of the week. Amen. Jesus Christ was not in the tomb on Sunday. Jesus Christ was awake on Sunday morning. So it makes you wonder what kind of a Jesus Christ you have when you're still in the tomb on Sunday morning. Amen. this morning. Hope that's all right. But we find this morning that it was God's desire that Christ would what? Be smote. But yet His desire was only that He would be smote once. And as we had preached on earlier, you find that God's desire was that the rock would be smote one time. And He told Moses, smote the rock. So Moses smote the rock. But then we find that Israel thirsted after the waters again. They complained they wanted water again. And Jesus said, speak to the rock. But yet we understand that Moses, in his humanity, in his anger, what he cried out and he actually smote the rock twice when he was supposed to speak to the rock, right? Now, what this had done is it broke every type in the Scripture and showed what? It showed the lack within the blood of Jesus Christ, as your prophet said. It caused the Word, a need for the Word to be crucified a second time. So, if the Word would be crucified a second time, there would come a need that the Word would resurrect a second time, right? Now, at the first resurrection of Christ, what? He come and revealed Himself to His people, and His people produced a branch to the vine. Amen. Amen. We realize Christ was also typed as that righteous branch in the Scripture. But we know that there is a branch church that come forth from Christ that looked exactly like Christ. Amen. But now we see that now there's a need for another resurrection in the Word. Amen. Now we're going to be, I pray, very careful about how we say what we say. We just want God to speak. But yet in all honesty, we must make this reality to you. This must become fact that you must resurrect again with Christ. Amen. Now this is going to make more sense as we go through this. But I want you to think upon yourself that yes, there has been another... We're looking for the full resurrection of Christ in the branch form again. Amen. Amen. We've seen a Messiah sign. We've seen a prophet that had what? Unparalleled signs and wonders following his ministry. But yet we realize that it must come to the fullness of a body form, right? It must be what? The church must be made so much like Christ that it would bring forth a universal rapture. Now, how can God bring forth a universal rapture without the whole universal body portraying Christ exactly the way He's supposed to be? It cannot happen. There must be some church rise up and look exactly like that. They must be unwilling to yield to the realms of Satan. They must stay right with the Word. They must stay right with the unadulterated Word that was sowed in this day. It's amazing to me how many ways you can preach almost the same thing. But you know what that is? That is a proof that God has so precisely and numerously place this in the Scripture so that the Word could continually unfold in the church that same revelation so that it could bring forth that same church. Why did God put it in there? He put it in there so you could not mistake it. But once you broke the type, you would see that it's type time after time after time after time. Why? So that it could be reality to you. it wouldn't be like these message cults and all these denominational cults where they find a scripture and they make that scripture run way off over here, or they find some sort of a message type and they run that quote type out to make it say something when it does not say that. But when you can see the Bible and the desire of that scripture and see it released in type form, in scripture form, in quote form, it is what it's made to produce that. How do I know who I am? Because the whole scripture rings true to what I am. What I was made here for. What God had in His mind to bring forth. And here we're sitting right at the coming of the Lord. Meaning that everything that was prophesied is getting ready to burst forth. But just like in the time of Christ, at His resurrection, at His crucifixion, all these events had to start, the prophecies had to start coming forth quickly. The mass majority of prophecies of Christ, they happened all within a few days span. Amen. What rings true to this day? Will you believe that or not? These prophecies, they speak of you. These prophecies, they're telling what is going to happen to you. You know exactly what's going to happen. 50 and 60 years ago, you were told that this country would bury itself so far into debt that it would default. And we have people in the news even saying if Americans knew where this system was actually at, it would drive them into a mass hysteria. Amen. There is no recovering from this debt, church. On, it's over. Yeah. Right. The only thing that can bail it out is what your prophet said it would be. Amen. The Catholic Church, right? Yeah. Which we find very interesting, of course, is that the Catholic Church for the first time is making itself known how much it is worth. Why would they do that? All on the other hand, when I was reading in the newspaper that it actually said that the White House was starting to what? To entertain companies who would be able to bail it out if it defaulted. Everything has been perfectly set up right now to bring forth this great prophecy given to us. The whole system's going to crash. Why do I got a smile on my face? Life as I know it is going to be changed completely. Why do I have a smile on my face? Because of the thousands of faiths that have come forth on the Christian rank. On a God level, I have found the one faith that has prophesied the truth of this word, that has opened the reality of what this Bible says, and I am serious about that. I believe that. I'm standing with that. When God said He'll send a prophet, I have found this Elijah. You can't tell me that it's not right. I see it in the Word. And it in the Word is opening up who I am. They say, oh, William Branham was a false prophet. It makes me smile just all the more. They say, oh, you're just a legalist. I smiled all the more. Don't you get it? They're trying to fully crucify the Word now.
That's right, brother.
All right? Are you ready to go on the trail with me now? And start looking at where you're at. This is the most exciting time of history that you could find yourself living in outside of the time when Christ Himself was here. But if you catch where you're living at, Christ Himself is here. He's not too hard to find. He's not far off. He's not taking a vacation. He is here with His church right now. But what? The Gentile was made to receive the revelation through the Word. It couldn't be a sign that proved to you. Because remember, believing a sign was a Jewish trait. So God allowed the sign to pass from the scene. None of this stuff's in my notes, church. But God allowed the ability to chase a sign to leave the scene so it could come down to the original faith, which by the Gentile must come by a pull from the Word. Don't you get it, church? God sent a prophet with a first pull, second pull, and a third pull. The first two pulls were by full physical sign. You could see Him put His hand and it numb up. You could see Him what? Call it out and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. But the third pull, He said there was no impersonation to that pull. Why is that? Because that pull comes back to the opening of the Word. The pull, a pull is something to draw in. You see, so God took it away from a prophet. But people are still stuck on a prophet. But there's a group that have heard the Word, and that Word has pulled them in. Baptism in Jesus Christ's name. Yes, that Word hooked me. The Godhead in one person. Yes, that gospel called and it hooked me. That's my pull. That's who I am. That's what's being released. It's identifying your call. Showing what? The restoration of the original faith. It is depending on your word revelation and not your prophetic revelation. You understand what I'm saying? To be restored, it's not coming back to you saying, I believe in a God sent a prophet. Do you believe God sent a prophet? Oh, yes, I do. You can't change my mind. I believe. But where's the heart of my revelation? The heart of my revelation is wrapped up in this gospel. It says who I am. So what? So now, it was Herod who thought that God was going to raise a prophet back up.
Come on.
Herod was the one that was scared about that. Everybody was wondering who was going to be raised up. There was so much confusion about that. But the revelation was coming in word form. Why? Because that revelation, what He Himself had went down into the deep to bring forth the Word itself. Remember, what happens first? The voice. Shout, voice, trump. The shout is the message which began the process of the rapture in your life. And what next is the voice? The voice of Christ bringing forth what? The dead from the grave. From the grave again.
Right.
Just like Christ did.
Come on.
Just like Christ did.
Amen.
Amen.
And then comes the trump. That trump that we hear. That we which in are alive and remain at the last trump.
Yes.
We shall be changed.
Amen.
That's us. But now, church, I want us to make sure that we're looking at this in an appropriate manner. I pray that you see this importance. Because remember, if you begin to look at this, it becomes ever so clear that you find it's always Satan's desire to lock Christ up in the tomb. When Jesus was here, he said, Jesus, throw yourself off this cliff. Onto these rocks. The angels will catch you, don't worry. Oh my. His desire, kill the word. The scripture said that what? He possessed Judas. And what? Put Judas in the mold to what? To serve up Jesus Christ. To death. He moved what? Satan moved also in the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees. And what? Even Caiaphas, what? He prophesied that one man should die to save a nation. The prophecy was correct. The prophecy come from God. But who would have thought that it would have sealed them out? So what? Satan's design is to keep Christ in the tomb. His whole desire to keep Christ in the tomb. And I'm going somewhere this morning. If you'd like to go with me this morning, if we could. John 18:29. I'm going to go this direction very quickly. I just want to take a little sidestep to show you the attitude about Christ at crucifixion. Now notice John 18:29 said, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? Pilate says that. They say they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. What is a malefactor? A malefactor is an evildoer. So the Jews say, we don't need evidence that this word is evil. Just take our word for it. We're bringing to you to crucify. All you have to do is just believe us. Hallelujah! Isn't that the attitude? People hear about this message and they're just what? Some of you have heard about this. Oh, they're a cult. Oh, they don't believe the word of God. But who is stepping to the plate to challenge that accusation? Amen. Show me the baptism in Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the Bible. You cannot find it. Show me three persons stated in the Bible. You can't. Show me. Do I need more than just an ABC reasoning? Why would you try to make something algebraic when it can be so simply done in addition? You realize that? It's like saying 2 + 2. I'll say, brother, could you tell me if I put 2 of these with 2 of those, what does that equal? And the individual says, boy, this is a pretty hard little statement that you're making to me. I'm going to have to first put the first two as the algebraic expression of A. And then I'm going to have to put multiplied by B equals X. And you say to them, why in the world would you do that like that? And they say, it's the only thing that makes sense to me. And you say, why in the world would you do that when you can simply look at 2 + 2? All you have to do, let's go down to the simplest simplicity of what this is. I have 2 + 2. Not A, not B equals X. But I can just say 1, 2, 3, 4.
Amen.
And they say, no, that's too hard. And you say, you're making a whole lot of noise when you don't need to do that. It's this simple. And you say, God said what? Straight is the gate that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it.
Amen.
2 + 2 = 4. Isn't that funny how God placed that right up there and go like this? But you see what this is? There is an outright, I'm showing you the stewardship, the dispensation required at this time. You have to take on the load that they completely come after you.
Amen.
And call your gospel evil.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
I hear it walking out there. I see it when they let their dogs poo on the front of here. We see that this is what they think. I see it sometimes by attitudes reflected towards me, even in the church. This is not popular. And if Satan can get your mind to fight this at all, what? He's trying to show you that this religion, that this church is a male factor, when in fact it is the only church that can give you life.
Amen.
2013? Yes. Year of spiritual death. It's time to get serious with God.
Yes, sir.
It's time to put yourself into action.
Amen.
Now notice this. Verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So they say, we don't have any scriptural against this. But we do know our Bible says that we can't kill him. So good old Rome steps up and says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now notice Matthew 27:59 says, when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now notice this. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now we find at this point in time, notice the scripture. It says that they were sitting. Now isn't that interesting? We find in the scripture that when I believe it was the girl that died, and they laughed Christ to scorn, and they were outside screaming and crying out, oh, you killed him, you killed him. Well, not let me say that right. Not you killed him, you killed him, but what? But oh, he's dead, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. Now notice this. According to Jewish tradition John Gill comments on this. He says, and interferred by leave of the government, for one that died as a malefactor, they might not use the outward signs of mourning. So when you die as a malefactor, according to Jewish law, you are not allowed to grieve and have sorrow for that. You are forced to stand. What? You would be able to stand or sit there, but no outward expression would be shown that you are allowed to sympathize with this death. Oh, it's not coming to that? We can't even sympathize upon the Word of God, church. Come on! We can't even sympathize upon the Word of God. Come on! You don't understand what kind of religion is coming forth even in this nation? It is a secular Christianity. You love God, you're all right. You go to church, you're all right. But nothing tells you to stand with the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah! How do we stand? Oh, Lord Jesus. How do we stand according to sin? Do you realize? We say, oh, everything has to, Christians have to be the most loving people there are. But do you realize that Jesus' love cost Him His life? He called them serpents. He called them religious snakes. John the Baptist called out Herod and said, it's not lawful for you to have his wife. Wait a minute. But why didn't John the Baptist just love them? Christianity is love. Because Christianity is corrective first and then love. How can you sit there and just let sin abound and not cry out? John the Baptist had enough God in him that looked and said, these people are going to hell. Hallelujah. Well, I was at work and a Methodist. He told me, he said, my daughter, her husband's a Catholic and she just become a Catholic. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. He gave me a look like that. I didn't realize what I just opened up. He's like, wow, what are you talking about? That's the mother church. That is the whore. There is no salvation in her anymore. And he said, well, I'll just have you know, I've met Father Joe, and he's just the nicest guy as could be. He's like, you know, some of them are really nice. I said, yep. He said, you're right. There's a lot of real nice ones. Before I had much of a chance to come back, he went running. What? He has went back to the mother. When the persecution comes on, don't worry. He'll be against us unless God somehow intervenes. Because he has now judged that the Catholic religion is just as Christian as we are. Can you believe this? I want you to think about this, every one of you. The gospel that you're treating secularly. You're saying, oh, it's okay. I can just love everybody. And send everybody to hell. Say, yep. I know that you're a fornicator, an idolater. He's going to love me no matter what I say. And an idolater, you're a railer. You're an adulterer. You're a liar. You're a homosexual. You're a... Oh, well, now we're getting quiet. You know why you're getting quiet? Because you don't stand like this.
Mom. Come on, brother. Mom. Amen. Breathe.
160 million Protestants have died and given their life to get you this true word. When the popes were committing sodomy, bestiality, homosexuality, lying, penance, all these things, you know what these people are doing? They're saying, you're wrong. I love you enough to tell you because I don't want your soul to go to hell. And yet, they were persecuted. They were killed. But you know what? They lived by the gospel. Do you want a real Christianity? God, help us! Why don't we do it then? Sounds like Christ still in the tomb. So notice this. As we continue on, I better stop right there. I'm not saying this to condemn our people here. I'm trying to show you that we cannot let this secular gospel control us. People at work, they say, it's okay to listen to country music. They talk about God. And a badonkadonk and beer and all this other filth. Said friendship with the world is enmity with God. How can you watch normal television and actually sit there with the Holy Ghost and say it's all right? Talking to a brother the other day, he said, how's your church doing? I said, we're doing good. I said, but right now, he said, faithfulness is down. I said, the church is still really quiet. I said, we're not bringing forth the word yet. He said, brother, he said, there's aching in the camp. I said, I know. That's it. I'm leaving the church. You want a real God on display? You say, oh, I believe the message of this church. You don't just sit here to be pew warmers, church. You're not sitting here because you're trying to show Brother Cam Smith is a great preacher. You're not here to say, okay, I go to this assembly, they're nice people, or they're just, I like them. You're coming here because you've identified the Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is preaching to you. That is the only identification that you can make with the church is that the Holy Ghost is here trying to change me to look more like Him. Every individual in this church should be so fervent, they're the first ones at the door. They're the first ones saying, God, I can't wait till prayer on Friday night. Hallelujah. Don't you realize what the Roman centurion did? He left his sick servant to go get to Christ. Because he knew if he got to Christ, his servant would be made well. Come on, everybody. Come on. This is the gospel, centurion man. This is your church. This is your God that's in this church. But we fail to recognize. We fail to recognize the hour in which we live. This is fun preaching, church. I'm having a great time. This hurts.
This is hard. But do you want to make it or do you not?
Amen.
So, Brother Cam, you're actually telling me that you believe that this whole system is getting ready to crash. And right now, we're making ready. Our last appeal at Christ to get in. To keep our lights burning. To say that this, what we found, this is it. I believe it. I have to fight into this. I have to try. Come on, I know we're all quiet. Is your life worthy of the gospel, brother, sister?
Come on now, help us all.
Mine's not. Time to get serious.
Come on, brother.
Come on.
Amen.
Now, so what? You have been so, you are being trained subliminally by the media, by your government, by religious people, by non-religious people, that you need to condemn this word. It is all around you. Constant. Don't grieve it. Don't feel sorry for it. Condemn it. Because we all are one. We all love God. We all are going to make this. Which is exactly what the religious and the Romans did. Please stop the service, brother. It's too much. Now, I want to get into this just a little bit, and I apologize, I was not able to get my pictures out this morning. But I want us to understand that when they had crucified Christ, the Scripture says in Matthew 27, 63, and I'm going to read this again. It says, now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Notice, even the religious, they are now crying out that they want to stop the prophecy of the Word being resurrected on the third day. The desire is what? Let's keep him in the tomb. Hallelujah. After 2 days, what? He'll rise again amongst his people. Remember what your Bible said. I believe it's Hosea 6, 2, and 3, if I remember correctly. And I know, yes, it's got some Jewish ties. It sure does. But it sure got some Gentile ties, too.
Amen.
How can the Jews manifest this word without the Gentiles fully manifesting theirs? They can't. You know what the difference is? The Jews cannot bring it forth without the sign level. That's why God has ordained a Moses and Elijah to come to them. Meaning what? God sent a prophet. God stopped him from going to Israel because it was not time. Do you realize that that Messiah sign put forth right there would have converted the whole land of Israel and we would have never even been brought forth?
Amen. That's right, brother.
Except for Brother Jack. And Sister Clara.
Right.
And Caleb's. Do you realize? But I'll tell you this right now. As much seed of God that's right there, they would have took that translation right there.
Amen.
But God God told Brother Branham, said, don't go to Israel. It's not time yet.
Yeah.
What? He already sowed the word. But the Jews didn't just need the word. They needed a prophet with the sign of the word. What? That means that first there must be a Gentile people. Now notice, the sign did not convert the Gentiles. It only brought forth a string of doctrines, a string of prophet worshipers. But the only thing that can bring forth the last day church is the word itself. Which is why God had to take the prophet from the scene.
Amen.
God wasn't coming back to save people that with a Jewish sign.
Amen.
I'm saying it again. Why? I don't know, I'm just preaching. God must want you to hear it again. So what? All you're doing is hearing the word. Saying, I'm not worthy, Lord, that you come under my roof. I'm not worthy that you naturally come to my house and do all my healing. Oh, see a Gentile.
Come on, brother.
But speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. So the only thing you need for a natural manifestation of the Spirit is just a personal revelation from Jesus Christ speaking the word.
Amen.
In revelation form that someone is healed, that you're healed, that you're delivered, that what? That Jesus Christ is going to change you.
Yeah.
It's amazing that Jesus don't ever speak a word to us. Hallelujah. My wife come up Wednesday. Hope she's all right. Since every pregnancy she has, her teeth cracks, her teeth chip. They go crazy. And this last time, her teeth cracked in half. She said on Wednesday, she said she was in so much pain. And she come up for prayer. And some of you who are here know what happened. My wife goes to screaming. I love when she starts screaming. I said, I married that girl. That's my bride. My wife told me after service, she said, hon, she said, when you and that brother prayed for me, she said, all the pain that I was feeling was gone.
Amen.
But all she had to do was hear the spoken word.
That's right.
The spoken word, say by revelation, you're healed, sis.
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. Praise God.
That pain you can't deal with, don't worry.
Amen.
I'm going to speak to you right now. It's gone.
Amen. That's right, brother.
This should be commonplace. You should be sitting back saying, oh yeah, well this happened last week. That was great too. But it's not what? Because you're being so fixated on natural that you can't even hear the spiritual word speak life to you.
Amen.
Come on, Rapture Church.
Amen.
I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm not getting very far today. But I want you to know, at church, we got to come out of the tomb.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Come
on. Now, continuing on in the Bible, notice the reasoning in 27:64, Matthew says, command therefore the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So they didn't have a revelation that Jesus Christ was going to raise up.
Amen.
But they said they're going to make it look like he is.
Come on.
what's coming in this Third Pole Ministry Church? They're going to say what you have. Is because you just acted like you pulled Christ out.
Come on,
brother. Right. They'll just steal his body away.
Right.
But we know it wasn't them stealing him. It was him.
Amen.
He was that amen. He was the Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
I'm going to jump a little bit. Now, you tell me, what brought forth Christ from the dead? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you,
amen.
The Spirit that raised Him from the dead.
Amen.
It dwell in you. It will quicken you. The only thing that could bring Christ from the grave was the Spirit itself. Must be resurrected again.
Right.
And Satan is doing everything in his power to keep him locked up.
Mom, that's right.
So now, let's read a little bit more. Because remember, he said it, they'll say he's risen from the dead and the last heir shall be worse than the first. What's that saying? If you look at that by type, you're saying the resurrection of Christ at the first coming is a small error compared to what you're releasing at the second coming. Oh! Hallelujah! Don't you get it, church? Greater work shall you do! You've got to understand what you're getting ready to manifest, what you're getting serious about. You are getting serious to unleash the greatest power that was ever released on this earth. You wait till then to try to get it, you'll miss it. The door will be closed. Let me give you a little something. Joel 2:1 says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them. What'd you hear about on Wednesday?
Come on, brother. Amen.
The brother broke down Exodus 12.
Yes.
Said, what? You have to roast this lamb in fire.
Come on,
don't water it down.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. It has to be roasted with the consuming fire. Why do you think John the Baptist said he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire?
Amen.
And that's the only time we ever hear him saying fire.
Come on.
Ooh, God, roast this flesh, God.
Amen.
Set me on fire, God. Fire devoureth before them and burneth, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them.
Right. Amen. Right.
You want to read that in your own time? Some of you won't read it anyway. I might as well keep on reading. And behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, nothing shall escape them. We're talking about an army. We're talking about a people that there has never been the like before. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Eleven verse, the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. Whoa, a voice?
Amen.
Before His army? A message?
Amen.
For His camp is very great.
Amen.
For He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Hallelujah!
On,
who are you?
Amen.
Now we're sitting here all confused. Is this me? How am I going to become this? You should be saying, oh yeah. Amen. That's right. Because what? You're speaking what you are.
Amen!
Amen! When you see sin climb up in your life, what? You remind the devil that this is what you are. I am one that is what put back into the Garden of Eden. A fire before me and a what smoldering fire behind me. Oh, you're thinking you're John Rambo. Get out of your carnality. You're the one man invasion. You will have the power of God so manifested on you that it blows the doors off the building.
Come on, brother. Amen. Lord.
Can I jump again? Experience is 1947, brother. E34. I want to read you a little something. This really stirs me up.
Amen.
The church has failed. Instead of bringing the people together as one body, it separated them out. Just like Moses. Instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. You see? And it failed. So the church will never take the people over Jordan. That's right. It's done for the church. Notice, but now, I know this is an early quote, but I like it. God has changed His order. And He's sending back, look at the dots. Dot, 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 dot. You who mark my word. I'm marking right now. There's great men on the road to this world. Meaning what? They haven't even been manifested yet. I marked this. That's right. There's great powers on the road to this world. So what? Some great men that are getting ready to come to this world. Some great power that's coming to this world. Oh, where's my pen? I didn't want to mark this. And it'll be a people that'll call out a people. Meaning what? There would be another time that people unmanifested. Not the people that dwelled with the prophet, but people unknown to the world would come forth and watch within their capabilities.
Come on, brother.
Would be the Word. Amen. Within their capabilities. Amen. Would be powers ready to be unleashed to the world again.
Amen.
Within their reach would be what? A calling out amongst His calling out.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Remember, look at this, look at this. Come out of her, my people. Is that right? Babylon. Confusion. That, and not the people now, not out of your churches, but come out of that confusion among you, see? Come out. Let's serve God with one heart and one mind and one accord. Where have we seen that? We've not seen it. What's the greatest revelation of all that? That God was getting ready to manifest a people that could finally set the bride of Christ in unity and in order. One mind. We have the same mind. Well, where does that mind come from? Is that right? And then God will take His church over Jordan.
Amen.
When?
Come on.
When great God sends great men forth.
Yes. Come on.
When God sends a great power back on the church.
Amen.
When God brings the same mind, same unity in a church. Then we'll cross Jordan. Hallelujah! Give the Lord a round of applause! Don't you realize what this is ascribing to? This is saying that this is your day! This is your hour! This is saying how great that attribute is within you! You are to unleash Christ on the scene today! Don't you say, how can I get in one accord? How can I get the same mind? We have to what? There should be something in us coming from the seed, moving us to a greater unity.
Amen.
Moving us to the same mind.
Amen.
You realize what that means? It's okay, you didn't know the quote before. But if you're marking this, something inside of you should say, I can't stand the church like this.
Come on, brother.
I was made to be so much more than this. I was made for that. I ain't saying who I am, but I know who I am.
Amen.
There's been too much behind what I believe. Oh, there's been plenty of humanity there too. But how come God's never talking about my humanity? He's only talking about what I am. But the only thing He said was what? What did He say? Come out of her.
Amen.
My people. This is good.
Amen.
I'm going somewhere.
Amen.
Come out of her. Don't be partakers of her sins. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wait a minute. I hope you're already progressed where I'm at. Don't you see it, church? Let's get into this now. Open your Bibles up to Revelations 18. Now, very quickly, three to Scripture, and then I'll go through it all then. This is powerful. I'm not even the least bit tired yet, are you? That brother's crazy. I just love the Word of God. I just can't help it. When things open up to me, I get so excited. Well, you know, great powers are here. You know, God had some unmanifested people, which is why the rapture couldn't happen back then. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Amen! This is who you are! Come out of her! Amen! I'm a little emotional again, ain't I? Time. It's time. Now, Revelations. See how the devil is? In my excitement, I deleted that passage. I'm carrying two swords today, devil. Say, you ain't got nothing on me, devil. They'll say, how can I slow these people down? You realize that? When the revelational word is coming forth, he does everything in his power to deter you from this word revealing to you. Revelations 18:1. Says, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached up unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. What in the world are we talking about today? Breaking the Roman seal. Now, you ready for the meat? Let's go. We want to start off finishing our scripture in Matthew 27. Matthew 27:65 says here, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Notice they're saying, Christ is going to resurrect. They're saying he's going to happen. Give us more that we can protect this tomb so there ain't any false things that come forth to make it look like the end is worse than the beginning. And we see here, that Pilate says, I've already gave you a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went, made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So notice over this tomb which Christ was placed in, it says first that what? They sealed it. They made it sure. Sure what? Sure that Christ was put in the tomb. There was no way that he could get out. And yet we see also that they placed a watch over that tomb. So, they sealed the tomb.
Amen.
Now, this is kind of interesting. And I don't want to say, thus saith the Lord, but I want to give you this just a little bit. We know by the Scripture that the Jews did not seal, but the Romans sealed.
That's right.
Okay? So it was a Roman guard or a Roman seal that was placed over the tomb of Christ. Placed over the tomb, what? To seal Christ in. Who killed Christ? Rome. Who's killed Christ in this day? Rome. Don't you realize that the mother has daughters? I'm coming! But you see, a Roman seal was put on it. What was a seal? A seal was a sign of ownership. A seal was what? It was a Roman. Basically, something, and they say, according to history, that they'd take two ropes and put it across the stone. And they'd place the seal in there. Now, I want to show you a few things here. Josh McDowell actually records a little bit on this. And he brings, when he was doing his evidence for the resurrection, he actually ran into a man. Let me read this a little bit to you. It says, there's a man by the name of Flavius Vegetius Renatus. He was a Roman historian that lived a number of years after the time of Christ when the Roman army and discipline started to deteriorate. So when the Roman system was beginning to crumble, there was this military guy who actually took it upon him as he seen the system deteriorate. He wrote a book. Why? Because he seen deterioration and he was going to write about its strength. How it was there. I got some histories here and things, and these are pretty interesting. Hope this is okay. If you're a student of the Scripture, this is good. So it says, Flavius Vegetius Renatus wrote an institute called the Military Institutions of the Romans. To the emperor, to encourage the emperor to instill the methods of offensive and defensive warfare of the Romans at the time of Christ so that they might preserve the integrity of the Roman Empire. At its greatest strength, this book was written to show how the military was at the time of Christ. Because this was the Roman military at its strongest point.
Amen.
Do you mean? Yes. The Roman military was at its peak at the time of Christ.
Amen.
Let's continue. It says here, in this book, it describes the Roman custodian, the Roman guard. It was given to me by the head of the United States military, the Joint Chief of Staff. And he gave it to me after he heard me speak on the resurrection. And he said, we use the methods in this institute in order to train our elite troops called the Green Berets. So he gave me the book as a gift because it was printed by the military. Now I'm going to jump, brother. I want to jump back to the seal. So we see here, according to time, that they actually wrote a book about the guard of the Romans, right? Now remember, we're working with a seal that was placed upon the body of Christ. Remember, this was the dead body of Christ. Which we're seated now, we see the dead body of Christ. Now, let's look at the seal very quickly. It says, then it says they put a seal on the tomb. The Roman seal could only be put on in the presence of the Roman guard. The seal was made up of two pieces of rawhide, and then there were usually clay packs where the rawhide would touch the outer rim of the tomb of the door. So the seal was made of humanity, clay. Now, pick up. says in the center there was a large impact of clay, and they would take the Roman insignia, which often would be a ring, and they would embed it in each piece of the plastic. This is important to understand. The seal wasn't put there to make it more difficult to break it or to remove something or to steal something. So the seal that was placed on the tomb was not some sort of a barbed wire fence and a lock and a chain and all this, but it was actually something very simple.
Right. Amen. Come on, brother.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Now notice, you could easily break the seal, but the seal did two things. First of all, it was an authenticating device. When the Roman guard unit placed the seal on something and the insignia embedded it in, they put their lives on the line that they were to protect what was there. In this case, the body of Christ.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Amen.
Good.
So the Roman guard was trying to keep the body in the tomb dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then second, the seal was a security symbol in the sense. It represented the power and the might of the Roman Empire. People feared the breaking of that seal because if that seal was broken, every security force of the Roman Empire was thrown into finding that man or men.
Amen.
So what? You would release all of the Roman army on the people trying to break that seal. Hallelujah. So, what? You see it?
Come on, brother.
So the seal was not hard to break. The seal was what? Placed there that Rome would put everything in its power to stop that.
Amen.
Protect what they wanted to keep behind them.
Amen.
All the forces of Rome is fighting what was in that tomb.
Amen.
To keep it locked in there.
Amen.
Why do you think this is so hard? Why do you think that we're still sitting here looking at this with the revealed word here?
Amen.
Because natural human forces cannot break this seal. All of Rome is behind stopping this dead body from coming out. Now, can we move on a little bit? Now, we find what's also interesting about this. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord on this, but it is an interesting tidbit. It says in the 19th century, 1844, there's fragments discovered from a tomb at Akhmin in Egypt. A Gospel of Peter dating back to at least AD 150 says that after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the elders and scribe asked Pilate to appoint soldiers to guard the tomb. Now it says here, and this is the scripture, it says their scripture. Like I said, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but look at how interesting this is. And Pilate gave them Petronius, the centurion, with soldiers to watch the sepulcher. And the elders and scribes came with them unto the tomb. And when they had rolled a great stone to keep out the centurion and the soldiers together with them, then all that were there together set it upon the door of the tomb and plastered thereon seven seals. And they pitched a tent there and kept watch.
Come on. Amen.
So it's saying that there are seven seals.
Amen.
Stopping. What? The breaking or the unloosing of Christ, His dead body.
Amen. Amen.
The only thing that would keep that dead body there was those seven seals intact. I said, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but look at how interesting this is, courtesy of Brother Dave. But you see, we know that the seal of the Romans, whether it be 1, 7, whatever it was broken. Amen. Let's look a little bit more at this. Because remember, the scripture also says that there was this guard that was around it, Roman. It says a little bit about this. Now, I want to read a little bit more from that book, and you'll understand what you're up against here. This is pretty powerful. I'm not reading this for your health, because I want to be long, but because I believe that this type of word will help you. Have you come to the lines that, are you thinking where I'm thinking? There must come another breaking out of the dead body of Christ from the grave.
Amen. That's right.
And the only thing that's keeping the body in the grave is the Roman seal.
Yeah. Right.
Then it was a natural seal, but now it was a spiritual seal.
Right.
Then it was a natural guard, but now it's a spiritual guard. Now remember, Rome had their guard upon them. And we understand according to history that the guard was usually in the number of 16. And they would actually place their guard and 4 watches. It would be 4 at every watch. Which we know, like I said, just by speculation, but because I know the scripture does not say exactly, but I find it very interesting that at the angel rolling the stone away, that there is actually 4 there. And the scripture says that there are soldiers at the tomb, and there are soldiers who went and reported it to the upper echelon. Okay? Well, what are you trying to say, brother? There's 4 horse riders working under the Roman authority, trying to hold the bride in the tomb. Now notice this. I don't know if I'm going to go through all this. It says, it describes what a Roman custodian is. It was not a 1, 2, or 3 man force. A Roman custodian was a 16 man security unit. Now you're going to love this. Says each man was a fighting machine. Remember, this was given to the U.S. Green Berets. This is the best of the best. Notice, each man had usually 3 to 5 different weapons on them. They were able to protect 6 square yards each individual against superior force. The 16 men in the square of 4 on each side were supposed to, and their reputation was, that they could protect the ground from an entire battalion. They were that well trained. In fact, they even used psychological warfare. What was it? They were using psychological tactics against their enemies. It was all psychological. Boy, I don't know anything about that. Now, it says, it describes that they would often have black and purple feathers on these massive helmets. And the black and purple feathers would go up 2.5 feet. And the reason is, at a distance, it made them look twice as big as they really were. And you read the descriptions of their enemies, how just the sight of the Roman custodian struck fear into a person's heart. Just nothing. They were machines. But their main fight was nothing but bluff.
Right. Amen.
Now I believe that these 16 of these men were placed at the tomb of Christ. Now, you can find some accounts where four individuals were placed. In other words, one-fourth of a custodian. But there's no indication that that is what happened here. Now, like I said, we're just looking at this, but how interesting this works with exactly what they're dealing with. But yet, like, not saying thus saith the Lord, don't go preach this as the gospel, but just to see yourself a little bit. Because this is where you're at. So what? Do you see what's holding the dead body of Christ in the tomb? You have a Roman seal. Some say it was seven seals. It's holding them in there. But we know the seven seals broke. If it was a Roman seal, as far as just a natural or just some sort of a spiritual Roman seal, which we know that is what it is in this day. What is it? Right now, it is the fourth beast that is fighting the church. The fierce beast. The one that was fiercer than all the other Roman or all the other powers.
Amen.
Babylon, Greco-Roman, Medo-Persian.
Right.
The last was a Roman.
Amen.
You'd have to break the hold from the Roman seal.
Amen.
But remember, Christ Himself, what? He was broke from the seal, but the only thing that could break Him from the seal was the Holy Ghost Himself.
Amen.
That's why you say, I'm trying, God, but nothing's moving. Why? Because it's going to take Him.
Amen.
His fulfillment. In the third day.
Amen.
It was at the end. It was just before dawn.
That's right.
It's just before the fourth day.
Come on, brother. Amen.
You're here right now. What's holding you in? But Rome's lost her power. I know. Remember, we read the scripture, Revelations 18:4. I want to read a little bit more to you, brother. If you'd look up why I'm not against or why I'm against organized religion. Now remember, this is going to start to ring really true for you. Because remember what we read in Revelations 18:4, 18:1 through 5. It said, first, there's an angel of light that cried out against the Roman system and says, Babylon has fallen. His inscription was what? To say that Babylon, confusion, is fallen. Confusion is no more. Let's look at this. Why I'm against organized religion. 2:18, brother. If you have that. It says, notice, this is the angel of light. Remember the last angel. It's the angel in the church age to the Laodicea. Who is this angel in Revelations 18? The angel to Laodicea. It's the Laodicean messenger. That it's the last, because the very next chapter is the 19th chapter, which is the coming bride. And this is the scripture, the last angel that came to bring light before the coming of the bride to go meet Christ. Why does it say Babylon is fallen? It's what I just told you. The confusion, the lack of scriptural understanding has been broken. What is the Roman seal? It is the confusion placed upon the Word. And when the seals were broke, it released what? It released the fullness of the Word back on the scene. Now, notice, says, says, what was a Laodicean church age messenger? Calling them out of Babylon. Look, church is caught in her cage with her. Not us. With her, with her dogmas, denying the word and accepting dogmas. What was Rome's power holding them in? The false word. A lack of the full word to the church. Which is why God starts off in Revelation 18 by releasing this angel. The Laodicean angel breaks the confusion. Now, it says, denying the word and accepting God, this is the angel of light to the Laodicean church that had rejected Christ and his word for dogma and had put him outside. And he stood at the door knocking, trying to get in.
Right.
2:19, brother. It says, notice this angel and the last messenger is the last messenger before the coming of Christ in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And you ain't excited? Are you that tired? Don't you realize where this is placing you?
Come on, brother.
This is going to get you in a second here. If it don't, I'm going to tell you. I'm sorry. Because I'm going to be excited. I know that.
Amen.
So, the messenger's voice, if we notice, when he gave his voice on earth, there is a voice echoed again in heaven.
Amen.
Fourth verse, if you want to read it. Fourth verse, the 19th chapter. This messenger on the earth was so inclined with God until when he spoke it on earth, God echoed the same thing out of heaven. What is that fourth verse translation? What does it mean? God's voice speaking to his predestinated people, saying, come out of her. What was it? What did the angel in heaven say? Come out. Come out. What did the Holy Ghost say to Jesus Christ? He said, come out. Come out of this Roman seal. And the whole purpose of the angel who echoed. He echoed the seventh angel's message. Wait! At the time of the sounding of the seventh angel, come out didn't happen.
Come on, brother.
It happened after he sounded.
Amen.
What? God had just shouted again from heaven, saying to the earth, come out. But notice, it was a God calling. Meaning what? It doesn't matter if you got an eagle bell buckle. It doesn't matter if you heard that first angel. Because the cry of the Laodicean angel was to turn you so you could hear the cry from heaven. Come out of her!
Amen.
Wait a minute. They'd still be locked in the tomb?
Come on.
They'd still be there? Oh, mark my word. There's going to be some great men. Mark my word, there's going to be some great powers brought down. Mark my word, unity, one accord, the same mind.
Amen.
The same mind. Oh, we better get together. We better like catch up just like Brother Steve. And we better all be able to cook as good as Brother Dave. And know all his amazing abilities to grill. Root beer is the key, church. Root beer. We have to have that mind. No! We're talking about another cry from heaven that calls you into the mind that says, come out! I'm not tired, church, because today I hear the voice say, come out! This is your rapture. This is your power. This is your time. Amazing. Notice, remember, you know Brother Cam's favorite quote of all time, that the bride can't have a revival, third seal, until she comes out of creeds and dogmas. Look at this. Finishing our quote, he said he's got people all out in there, all out through Babylon. Come out of her, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Yes, sir. Out of that dogma and creeds to the Word made spirit and life.
Amen.
Hallelujah! What is coming out? You have to come out of all this message theology.
That's right, brother.
You have to come out of all this Methodist tradition, this Lutheran tradition, this Pentecostal tradition, this Catholic tradition, and you must come into the full revelation of the seventh angel messenger.
Yes.
And then you're broken from the tomb. How can the Holy Ghost fill you if you're still caught under creed and dogma? How can He resurrect this Word, this dead bride Word caught? Oh, glory to God. Very quickly here, you might not even have to look these up. I'm going to read them very quickly. It says, Teresa Seal in 61, it says, and for some 1900 years, or maybe I'll say 14 or 1500, the church has had him sealed away. But he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. Saith God, there's nothing going to stop it. There will be light in the evening time. The works that I do, ye shall you also. It shall be light in the evening time. I don't care how many seals you try to put over it. God will break every seal. He broke the seal of the tomb. He broke the seal of hell. He broke the seal of death. He broke the seal of the grave and arose forevermore, triumph over the grave, death, hell, tombs, and every man-made thing. There was to show that He was God and cannot be sealed away from the people anymore. What was that? The church is sealed. Christ back up.
Amen.
1500 years. Notice. Teresa Seal 108 says, and they would do the same today. They are trying to do the same today. I don't want you to miss this. The world is trying and will get worse all the time.
Amen.
To seal Christ back in the tomb again. How can message people live with any other religion than the full Christ release at the prophet being here? What? They're getting worse all the time. They're putting Christ back in the tomb.
Come on, brother. Amen.
The message? Yes. They put him in the tomb. We're going to get quiet now. You talk about my message. Notice, they're trying to make him a historical God. Well, you remember what God did 50 years ago. One that walked in days and gave power to disciples to heal the sick and to cast out devils. Same thing the message has done. Right? But what did they do? As soon as they thought they had got rid of him, just like Cain did when he thought he got rid of Abel, they sealed him in a tomb and put him in there. Right? Tried to kill the Word. Oh, hallelujah. These message people are just like the Pentecostal people. The only difference is the Pentecostal people want to see a living God. These people want to see a living theology, not a living God. We want to see a living theology with a living God. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Right.
Come on, brother. Lastly, 110. Well, two more. Second last. True Easter Seal 61, 110 says, and today they're trying to keep Christ in a tomb. But oh, what an Easter morning done. An Easter morning ruined all their theology.
Amen.
And when an Easter morning came for a people, a church here 1900 years ago, and it ruined their theology, he's not dead. He's alive forevermore. They cannot keep him in the tomb. You can put him in a message tomb. You can put him in a Methodist tomb, a Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever you want to. But he raised out of that tomb and is alive today. I had a Baptist tomb. And you might have had a Methodist tomb, but one day Jesus rose from there. From a historical God to a living present God, alive evermore.
Amen.
The message put him in the tomb again. But I am here. I have been called. Oh, you better be saying, I've been called too. I have been called to ruin the theology that God cannot live amongst His people. I am a fulfillment of I Will Restore. I am a fulfillment of Joel's Army. I am a fulfillment of a bride who's made herself ready. I'm a fulfillment of Rebecca, who is carrying all the gifts from Isaac. Christ out of the tomb. So what? Lastly, God just hasn't just pour it out on it yet. I don't get it. God, what are you trying to do? He's trying to break that Roman seal.
Come on, brother.
He's trying to break that Roman seal. He can't force it off of you. You have to give it up of your free will.
Amen.
Your message theology.
Right, brother.
Your Methodist theology. Your Barnes and Gill theology. You got some good statements on them. But I'm not living and dying on that. I'm living on and dying on the fact that every type rings true. I want you to see this right here as we close. How many say, oh God, you can break that seal today, God. You can break it on me. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to deter you from that, but I want you to see this. The entombment, 1957, paragraph 108. He says here, I can hear him say, son, climb up here by my side and sit down until I make every enemy your footstool. Brother, someday he will come again. And what a day it will be. Notice this. He wasn't idle when he was in the tomb. We think he was just laying there dead.
Wow.
Is the body of Christ just laying in the tomb dead? Hallelujah! You ain't supposed to be laying dead in this church.
Come
on, Pentecostals!
Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ain't nobody perfect. Hallelujah! Amen! You didn't know what I was even talking about. That's good. That's okay! Because I have took on the attribute of Pentecost just like I have took on the attribute from being a Lutheran.
Amen. Amen. That's right, brother. Amen.
Just like I have took on the attribute of a Methodist.
Amen.
Not the denominational systems, but of the messenger, the word that was spoke to them. And now I have taken on the attribute of the Word birthed on a people.
Amen.
And God has put all of that together in me.
Amen.
Amen. So what? I'm a Lutheran, Wesleyan, Pentecostal message.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But note, one way or another, you look at this church, you have no excuse to be idle. Oh God, it could happen today. Make it happen. Believe it. Put some faith behind it. Today could be the day where the bride body leaves the tomb. But one thing's for certain, the bride hasn't been idle.
Come on.
Has it?
Come on.
Has the bride been idle?
Come on, brother.
The bride can't be idle. The bride is still witnessing. The bride is still what? Believing.
Amen.
What did Christ do? He went to hell, preached to the lost. And then he also preached to those of the resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
Sounds like a pretty good idle situation, huh?
Amen.
Ain't doing nothing but prophesying to multitudes, nations, and tongues.
Come on, brother.
It's going to make my head bob. Ow. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, you've preached so long. Oh, no. Don't let the Roman seal. You know, the dogma that a sermon can only be an hour long. Don't let that Roman seal keep the word locked up today. Keeping it in the tomb. Oh, you're so tired. You can't handle it no more. Don't worry, you don't have to come back at 3:30. What did the Word say to you?
Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Great.
I completely lost track of time. An extra hour of sleep means an extra hour of preaching.
Amen.
But I'm bubbling over right now.
Amen.
Can't you see why I'm so happy, church? Can't you see why I feel so much fire? Because it's time for the hypocrisies of Roman theology that has struck every organized church from the message all the way back to the original. It struck them. And now it's time for me to come out. Come out of that Roman seal. Whether it's a seal or seals, they've been broke. The Holy Ghost broke it Himself. Because what? The angel came down, put one foot on land and sea, and said, time shall be no more.
Amen.
When he did, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Amen.
Oh, I'm confused now. How are you confused? I've already told you what the thunders are. One thunder. Seven voices. One angel. Another voice coming out of heaven.
Come on.
But it was all Christ.
Amen. That's right.
It was all Christ.
Absolutely.
Breaking you. Now he's really getting me confused. You're making me preach longer. Don't be confused. Leave it right here. You have to get the Holy Ghost right.
Amen.
Don't worry. He'll make sense of theology. He'll break you out of the tomb. But you have to be in condition to be broke from it.
Amen.
Let's stand. You have to leave all this Roman system behind. It's all got to go. It's all got to go. Oh God, break me out of the tomb. God, let your Holy Ghost come here. What if God's looking at you and saying, but you've been so idle. My body, when it was in the tomb, the Spirit was still going forth.
Come on.
The Spirit was still preaching the Word. The Spirit was still shining forth. Hallelujah. God, break me from being idle. Show me this Word is right, God. Reveal to me all the Roman ideology that I have and break it. I don't care if it's Roman message or what Roman it is. I want it broke from my life. Produce it, God. Is that your desire? Oh, Jesus. You pray to God, and I'm going to pray to God right now. You're not tired. I'm not tired. You're not tired either. The devil's trying to make you tired. Don't let the devil get you like that. Let something come forth on the inside of you. It's time. You say you got that Holy Ghost. You don't think that Holy Ghost can make you awake right now? You don't think that Holy Ghost can bring back the Word that was just sown to you and make that live? This is the type of God we serve. This is the type of God that you've been acquainted with. Come out of her, my people. Come out. Great men, great powers, great unity, great mind. Lord Jesus, we just love you today, God. We thank you for your Word, Lord. God, it's going home time. We know it, Lord. God, we still see too much world coming forth of our lives, God. Still too much Rome, God, coming out, Lord. Break, oh God, that Roman hold, God. Lord, it's just a couple of centurions, God. Just a couple Roman powers. But they are more bluff than they are real, God. And God, we weren't even meant to fight them anyway. Your Holy Ghost would combat everyone. He would send an anointing, Lord, to fight every one of them. Lord, let that anointing be on me, God. Let that anointing, God, give me strength, God. I don't want to be idle, God. I want that Holy Ghost to break me from the tomb today, God. I'll take that revelation. I'll take, oh God, that mind, God. That it is my time. This is my message. This is my Word that you sowed for me, God. I have marked down what that prophet has said. Bring forth of its kind, Lord. I just ask it, Lord, even now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I don't want to see any of these people here miss it, God. I'm going to come combat the spirits that hold us down. And I pray that the church will enter in with me upon this promise right now. Lord, you said, God, that the gates of hell would not prevail against us. The gates of hell could not prevail against Hattie Wright. Hallelujah. She was living by the spoken word, God. And today we've heard your spoken word. And God, we want to take possession of this church today, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every foul spirit on every individual that's here. We take this church. We take this town for the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Let every seed bring forth of its kind, God. And we want to put a claim on every individual here right now. That the power of God would rest in the full deliverance of every individual here. Yes, God, we're going to take your word that seriously. If we can move a mountain, what's this mountain before our God? Nothing. God, deliver the hold that's trying to hold this back. We bind the demons that are trying, the Achans, the spirits. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the devil. And we bind Satan right now on his hold on this church, trying to hold it back into the tomb. We bind you right now, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the spoken word. The Holy Ghost just preached it to us. And I believe that it is going to happen right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we stand on it. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. You know in our lives, even personally right now, we take this one more step, that there's things that are holding us back today. There's loves that we cater to that are not yours, God. And Lord, there's addictions and oppressions and diseases, God, that we've allowed to afflict us, God. If it be your glory, we'll take it. But God, come to us and tell us that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. God, we just come against them in our flesh right now. Satan, you're a liar. I see how you're holding Cam Smith back. You're a liar, devil. That Roman seal, I rebuke it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Over every individual here, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. We're taking our church back. You're a liar, devil. We're coming out of the tomb. Hallelujah! Lord Jesus, let this be time. We're crying out for a rain right now, God. Give it to us, God. Let us become more serious. Let us become more fervent. God, bring it forth, God. I pray it even right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, fulfill it on your body, Lord. God, relieve us from aching, God. Relieve us from sin, debauchery, fornications, and all these things. Relieve us from a secular gospel. We pray it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The church agrees with me together, saying, let's just sing that song. Can't you see why I'm so happy? If you need prayer today, you can have prayer. If you need freedom today, I can't free you, but the Holy Ghost can break you out of the tomb. And if we reach out together, I believe that He can. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not too tired yet.
No, sir.
What if tomorrow is the day?
That's right.
Oh, we're not that serious yet, are we?
Come on, brother.
Help us, God. God, I want a fire lit. Lit a fire, God. I want to be more faithful to this church in every aspect. When I'm at home, I'm praying for this church. When I'm at home, I'm crying out.
Amen.
I'm crying out for my brothers and sisters. I'm crying out for myself. I'm crying out for the abominations done amongst the people. God, let it be so. Oh, Lord Jesus. God. Oh, God. Can't you see? Oh, I am so happy. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. The spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. happy. I'm accepting the word.
Spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Sing one more time. Well, and can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. Your revealed word. Oh, the alive. Oh, he God loves us so. prisoner's chain with bleeding stripes. Oh, fall and sigh, this print that night.
The friend. again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same, saints. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him. Well, he is here. You can touch him. You will now. Sing with again, with all your heart. Well, he is here. Hallelujah. He here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. Sing it again. Just constrain him, saints. If you want more of him, constrain him to be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Oh, holy, holy. Well, I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. Give him a round of applause, saints. And when I think about the Lord, just how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost, when I think about the Lord and how he picked me up, then he turned me around, how he placed my faith on solid ground. Oh, my Lord, it makes me you, Lord. Just how you saved me, how you raised me, how you filled me with your Holy Ghost, how you healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord and how He picked me up, then He turned me around, how He placed my faith on solid ground. Oh, my Lord, it makes me, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all of the praise. Oh, my Lord, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Hallelujah! It makes me want to shout. Oh, hallelujah! I thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Oh, and all of the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout.
You must give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see a beauty that made my heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became poor. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, yes, Lord, you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And I'll never know.
And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost. See my sin upon that cross. Lord, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
You must give the Lord a round of applause again, saints. Amen. Just sing that song, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." Amen. If you need to be dismissed, you can be. We're just going to worship the Lord today. Amen.
Oh Lord, You're beautiful, and Your face is all I see. For when Your eyes are on this child, Your grace abounds to me.
Sing that again.
Oh Lord, You're beautiful, and Your face is all I seek. For when Your eyes are on this child, Your grace abounds to me. Oh Lord, my body's tired, but You keep reminding me of many holy, tireless men who spilt their blood for Thee. Oh Lord, my faith is small, and I need a touch from You. Your book of books lies undisturbed, and the prayers from me to few.
Lord, please light the fire.
Lord, please light the fire that once replaced the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear.
Sing that last verse one more time.
Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear.
Let's just sing that song, "Make Me More Like Thee," as we're dismissed. Amen.
Make me more like Thee, O Jesus. Make me more like Thee, O Lord, and give me a heart that's filled with love. And may like thee, O Lord, and give me a heart that's filled with love and